Aloha, and welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. Join us today along with co-host Master Sergeant Carlos Cambry, Leslie Silva, and Martin Arinaga. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. As you hear the gripping stories today from our special guests, we invite you to call us at 296-5467. Again, that's 296-5467. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Aloha from Honolulu, Hawaii. I'm Danny Yamashiro with my co-host, Martin Arinaga. Welcome to The Good Life. We are here to help unleash your God-given purpose. Carl Sandburg stated, "Time is the most valuable coin in your life. You and you alone will determine how that coin is spent. Be careful that you don't let other people spend it for you." Time is one of your greatest commodities. It's one of my greatest commodities. Everyone in the world has the same amount of time each day. It's what we do with our time that makes a difference. And it's God who gives us time. 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9 says, "The eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth, that he may strongly support those whose hearts are completely his." The eyes of the Lord has moved throughout the earth. And he spotted a man in Malaysia years ago. He's not only our featured guest today, but one of the reasons he is our featured guest is because of what he has done with his time. Martin and I, and our guest today, we want you to know that the reason we have this Good Life Hawaii radio show, in fact, the reason why you're listening, it's not by chance, it's not some fluke, it's not some happenstance, it's by divine appointment. You know, God is a God of destiny. And even in the moments of life where we find ourselves today, God is reaching out to you. And whether or not you're reaching out to him, whether you realize it or not, whether you're cognizant of it, whether you're conscious of it, that you're reaching out to God, he is reaching out to you. And sometimes it's through the difficult circumstances that we find ourselves in where our hearts begin to cry out in desperation for help beyond our capacity, because we realize that our capacity is ever so limited. And so the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, we're here to remind you, not only is God reaching out to you, but he's reaching out with arms of love and strength, arms of compassion and hope. And we believe you're going to receive a touch from the Lord today as you listen. Reverend Stephen Che, well, he is an expert in the Greek language. He has spent considerable years of time not only studying the biblical languages, Greek and Hebrew. He has taught Greek in various parts of the world, select places in the United States. He served as the associate pastor at Calvary Assembly of God for 12 years. He was the interim senior pastor there for 2 years. He has an incredible story to tell. He and his wife, Betty, traveled together to minister to people, teaching. Their sons are also grown and have become very successful. One is a medical doctor, an anesthesiologist. The other is an engineer. They have 3 grandchildren. And Reverend Stephen Che, I call him Pastor Che, he's, He's with us in studio to tell us his incredible story. Pastor, welcome to our show.
Thank you, Danny. I am very privileged and honored to be here, to be invited to come and share my little insignificant testimony of what how God has led me up to now at this point.
Pastor, let's get right into it because we need, Martin, we're going to need some time for this because of the details and the way that God meticulously orchestrates his hand in the his fingerprints in the way that he works intricately in our lives. Pastor, tell us about your journey of faith. How, in Malaysia, how did you become a Christian?
Well, it's a long story, but I will just start from the very bottom, the beginning. I was brought up as a Buddhist. My parents were staunch Buddhist. So somehow I went to a mission school, and I was taking a course called Religious Knowledge in my high school, and I took the four Gospels plus the Book of Acts, and I passed that with excellence just for my diploma so that I can graduate, you know. So anyway, after graduation, I looked for a job, and that job happened to be a teaching job in an elementary school. It's a Chinese school. So without knowing what I was doing, I took that Bible with me as a textbook, English textbook. I wasn't a Christian, I wasn't saved, but there were many beautiful, wonderful stories of what Jesus had done. And I told the stories to the kids, elementary K1 to K6, you know. And so I was so happy to be able to bring the stories of miracles, healing, raising the dead. And the kids just opened their eyes and said, "Is this true?" I wasn't a Christian. I don't know. I just narrate the stories.
Now, you grew up in Malaysia, which, of course, population has increased. But, you know, the 2009, there were already over 29 million in population.
Right.
And the majority of the nation is Muslim.
Mm-hmm.
So you're telling us in high school, they just had that class, religious knowledge, right?
And yes,
that's how you got accustomed to the Bible. And you, as an 18-year-old, you went into teaching already.
Right.
I want to hear a little bit more about that, but tell us, take us back to your childhood. I think there's some very stark experiences, stark in contrast to what an average person in America will have to go through when we speak about the governmental regime that existed at that time. So tell us about what it was like, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5 years old. What happened?
Yes, going back, I was adopted as a kid. My parents somehow, I never knew my biological parents. But anyway, as a kid, I was adopted by a family, and I was being raised up. So during that time when I was growing up, 4 or 5 years old, I remember my father worked for the British managers, British company in the rubber estate, you know, plantation. We live in a bungalow house. So one day, I saw about 50 men came over to the house after dinner. My dad thought, oh, some friends came to visit him. Not knowing, they came and arrested him, tied him up, and huddled him and took him off into the rubber estates. From that time onwards, it was still ingrained in my mind. I have never seen my father until now. I don't know where he was. So that was how I was brought up with this. Why they caught him was because during that time, the Japanese occupation was invading Southeast Asia, right? From Thailand, Burma, down to Malaysia, and even down to Singapore. I remembered very clearly as a young boy. So they have, the British have made a covenant, a contract with this group of Chinese people. They say, we will go into the jungle and become bandits or communists, whatever you want, or terrorists. So they went in and they killed, yeah? They literally shot and killed those armies from Japan came over, the invaders. So finally, they won the war because of the British help that the government came in. And then when they surrendered, the Japanese surrendered, and then they came out the time when the Chinese communists, so to say, with the British, they say, hey, you remember you made a contract with us? He said, yeah, you are supposed to recognize our Malaya Communist Party, MCP. The British people thought, the British High Commissioner said, oh, no, 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 we will not recognize communism in Malaysia. So that's when they returned back into the jungle, and then they begin to kill the British one by one. My father happened to work for the British company in the rubber estate, and that's how I understood that he was arrested by
and the Japanese. How old were you when they took your dad away?
I was about 5 or 6. I could clearly remember 5 or 6.
And you never saw him again?
I never saw him again.
And so what happened after that?
A few days later, my mom was thinking, what shall we do? But I have a teenager of my brother and my older sister, about 18 or 19 years old. One day they were bicycling down to the town, and midway we were told that somebody came, a group of men came and arrested them, huddled them and tied them up and brought them the same way as they did my father into the jungle. We never saw these three people, never again in our lives.
Your sister, your brother?
Yes.
So that leaves you and your mother.
Yes, that leaves me and my mother and one more older sister, 1 year older.
You know what? You talk about just utter tragedy, you know, for a young... How did you cope?
I was very bitter. I was very vengeful. With my small little mind, I said, when I finish high school, I want to join the army. Get training, hold a gun, rifle, and kill a few at least of my enemies. That's what I was thinking in my mind. Very vengeful. I had no love for people because they took the one that loved me away from me.
But you find yourself in a Christian church telling stories from the Bible at about the same time. Is that right? Because you're out of high school.
Well, no, that wasn't church, though. That was just a school.
A school.
It's a school, right. Yes. It's an elementary school.
Oh. I was interesting. Teaching the what Bible. A paradigm!
Teaching the Bible.
But so you have this vengefulness, this hatred. Now you're 5, 6, 7 years old. You're growing up like that, right?
Yes.
But then you go to school, and then at the age of 18, still not a Christian, right?
Not a Christian. No.
So you're Buddhist.
Buddhist.
So you're Buddhist in a Muslim country.
Country. Yep.
Okay. And now you're 18. When you tell us about this island that you went to teach at.
So I was desperate for a job. Yeah. So at 18 years old, I applied to the education department, and I said, I'll go anywhere as long as you give me an opening to teach. So there was a reply that came, oh yeah, there's an opening at Pulau Ketam. That island is called Crab Island, full of crabs, many crabs. So I applied and I got it, and I went to go to school to teach. And when I saw that place, you have to travel down to the pier so many miles, and then you got to take a ferry ride, 2 hours ferry ride to this isolated island, right?
Pastor, you're talking about the transitions of life. I mean, for you to share with us, in America, a land of freedom, there's government established, the order is in place. I mean, tragedies happen all around, but there's some distinctiveness in what you went through as a child. And I think as we talk, and the fact that you're here, you're lucid, you're articulate, and you're a spiritual man with love just bursting out of your heart. Sometimes I wish that we had a TV camera here so that people could actually see the expressions in the sharing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But God was meticulously working. His fingerprints are all over your life, and we can see it all the better now as we look back. And I think today, and I'm getting us set up for the story on Crab Island, because my goodness, I just had a little preview of it, and it's going to take us with it gripping grasp even further.
We're just getting started.
My goodness. But here's the thing. Someone's listening today, a friend of ours, a member of our family of listeners, and they're thinking their life seems a bit chaotic. And it's not just chaos from a mental standpoint in terms of just objectively saying, oh, that's chaotic. No, we're human beings. We're emotional beings. And there's pain, there's tears, there's anger, there's hatred, there's rage, there's frustration that comes with all the things that happen in life. How do you sort it out? How can God make sense of it all? How can we survive it and then look back and still be able to talk about it? Well, when we come back, we're going to hear more from Pastor Stephen Che, as he shares with us about what happened on Crab Island. You don't want to miss it. Stay with us. We're going to be right back. You're going to be able to relate with him. Maybe in some ways, it's going to be outrageous to you. But you're going to relate still, because we all go through it. Stay with us. We'll be back with Pastor Stephen Che.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
On a dark winter night at Hawaii's Pali Ridge, Danny Yamashiro's life was forever changed as he fell 300 feet off a cliff, attempting to rescue his girlfriend. With a fractured skull, torn scalp, a shattered ankle, and smashed body, he fell again another 100 feet. No one thought he would live. Danny's book, Paradise Calls, is a spellbinding story of survival and hope. A firsthand account of crushed dreams, recovery, and renewed faith to bring Christ's message of hope to people everywhere. Here's Danny.
As you read Paradise Calls, may God bless you and enrich your life with divine hope in the midst of whatever challenge you face today.
Danny Yamashiro can also be heard on the Good Life Radio Show at 2 p.m. on the new KGU 99.5 FM and on AM 760 KGU. Visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. And remember to get Paradise Calls by Danny Yamashiro, available at bookstores throughout Hawaii. For more information, visit Danny online at thegoodlifehawaii.org.
Have you been blessed by the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show? Have the stories been an inspiration to you? What if you had the opportunity to improve the quality of another person's life, someone like your family member or friend? Danny Yamashiro is looking for friends of the Good Life to prayerfully consider a monthly financial gift. You will receive monthly letters from Danny that will equip and encourage you. I invite you to become a financial partner with Danny Yamashiro Ministries. With your gift, you will become part of Danny's ministry team and help reach more people with God's love and hope through Jesus Christ. Write your check to Danny Yamashiro Ministries and mail it to P.O. Box 700998 Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. That's Danny Yamashiro Ministries, P.O. Box 700998, Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. Or go to www.dannyyamashiro.org. You're listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. To be part of today's discussion, call us at 296-5467. That's 296-5467. Or contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter, or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now let's rejoin Danny and co-host Master Sergeant Carlos Cambry, Martin Arinaga, and Leslie Silva.
Welcome back to our show. I'm here with my co-host today, Martin Arinaga, and our featured guest, Pastor Stephen Che. Before our break, we were talking about where he grew up in Malaysia. And you know, when I think about our guests, through this program, we are able to literally bring people to you, bring their stories to you from all over the world. Sometimes it's from all over the world, right down in Kalihi or in Mililani. And sometimes we go overseas. We'll bring in people from various parts of the world to bring the culture, to bring the story of life and God's grace and blessing all over the world to you. You know, I think about Martin, God's that famous verse, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. We're here, the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show. You can reach me on Facebook. Just go to Facebook, Danny Yamashiro. You can also go online, thegoodlifehawaii.org. We have programs like these and others that you can greatly benefit from, and also some devotional resources. Invite your friends and family to listen, and this is a great way to bring hope to other people. Well, Pastor, you talked to us about going to this island.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Tell us about Crab Island.
On this island, somewhere situated in the ocean, somewhere around the Indian Ocean, I think. Takes 2 hours to go there by ferry. So anyway, when I went to this island, I saw it was built on stilts. Yeah, everything was built on stilts. Huts made from planks or woods, shelters. So on this island, there was no running water. No water. You only depend on the rain. When it rains, you collect the water. That's it. Yeah, no electricity. Only oil lamp. Gas stove. I don't know, more gas to those days. Only oil lamp. And no hospitals, no clinics. If you're sick, that's it. You depend on whatever tablets, pills that you have. Yeah, and no police station, no telephones, no communication. Okay, and no fire station, nothing. So when I went there, I said, "Oh God, what is this? I have come to a deserted island." But the people were all fishermen. Wonderful. Their trade was fishing. They catch all the fish and so. So I'm teaching those children of fishermen. Very hardworking, very rough and tough.
They speak Malay?
No, they speak Chinese.
Oh, Chinese.
This basically a Chinese community, island of people. So I was able to speak English and teach them the English language because they want to know English besides the Chinese. I said, wonderful, I'm here to help you. So the parents of these students, they were very respectable. Wow, every occasion, wedding, funeral, whatever, you are invited guest of honor. They say, oh, this is an educator, has come to help our children, so we want him to stay. But you know what happens in this island? There were so many mosquitoes, big mosquitoes. I was like food for them. So they attacked me, and oh, so much so that I contacted malaria, jaundice. I discovered my body was turning yellow, my eyeballs, and then I was sick. I couldn't function anymore. I told my principal, I said, "Principal, please, I'm very sick. I cannot attend classes. I cannot teach. I need to go home. At least get some medical help, you know." So he looked at me and saw me so pitiful, dying almost. He said, "Okay, I accompany you. I go with you back to your home." Okay. So he took me with him. 2 hours ferry ride. I was almost knocking out, going unconscious. Took another a bus ride to my hometown. And then I saw the doctor. The doctor said, "Oh, good thing you came early." So he fed me with a lot of quinine, those days, to overcome malaria. So slowly, eventually, I became well. Thank God, I became well. I didn't know how to thank God, but I said, "Oh, I'm better now." So I told the principal, "I'm not going back anymore. Sorry about my teaching. I'm going to resign, not going back. But I have left the knowledge of Jesus Christ and His miracles there on that island."
And now you were, again, still didn't have relationship with the Lord.
No, not at all.
But already the word,
yes,
was being spread on this island.
The seed, so to say.
And then the seed was also working in your mind and heart. I mean, you're teaching it, right?
But I'm hearing a paradox, because you're over here. This is your first job, and you're teaching English. It would attempt a primary to teach English, and you pick the Bible.
And he's 18 years old.
And you're 18, very young. And then you just, in the first section, you told us about your history, so your heart.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you can share what was in your heart, because I feel that, and yet I see you standing up and reading from the Bible. It doesn't have a hard time getting the two things to connect.
Yeah, what happened?
They don't align.
Okay.
Because your dad was taken away, brother, sister taken away. You talked about vengefulness.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so give us a picture of what happened in the gap of time between around seven years and 18 years.
As I've said, I grew up with hatred, no love for people, vengeful. But somehow, during those years as I studied, you know, for my examination, religious knowledge, full gospel, the four gospels plus book of Acts, it somehow ingrained in my mind, yeah. I said, Jesus, God, must be a very kind man, you know, helpful, helping people, raising the dead, teaching and preaching and all this. I remember those works that Jesus did. So I went along with that, not knowing the reality of Christ, yeah. So there was no textbook for me, English textbooks for the school. So the only textbook I brought was the Bible. Amazing. I never knew. Why did I bring this? I only thought of the stories, yeah. Mm. Stories that young people love to listen. So that's how I relate to that.
And something that's
nothing spiritual.
Somewhat, yeah, available too.
Yeah, correct.
Commonly printed and
So nothing spiritual. Just on the physical, the stories aspect, see, they attracted the young people, and I love stories, to tell stories. Mm.
Mm. So now you're back.
Yes.
You're healed from malaria, and you tell the principal, I'm not coming back.
I'm not coming back.
What happened?
Thank you for making me well. Goodbye.
He was very disappointed, you know, knowing that I'm not going back, because I want my life. I don't want to die that second time. No way. So anyway, then I have to apply for a job, okay? I applied and I got a job at the Rubber Research Institute in Malaysia. And this institute is very popular. I was in the chemistry department, where I researched on the rubber, the latex. They call it latex, is the liquid of the rubber. And we have done a lot of research on that, because Malaysia is a country that produces a lot of rubber. Natural rubber. So as I was going into this job, new job, there was another man who spied me all the time. Newcomer, new employee. He was watching for me every break, lunch break. He would come near to me and talk to me about, hey, you know the Bible? Hey, you're going to come to church with me? Hey, come. I'll take you there, you know. He was bothering me every day. So I was thinking in my mind, don't talk to me about the Bible. I know the Bible. I know at least the four Gospels and Acts, you know, at least that much I know. He said, no, this is different. Come, follow me. So he was pestering me, literally pressed for months. I was trying to push him off. But there was one day I said to myself, I said, the only way to get rid of him is to say yes to him and go with him. And then this is the final. I go, nothing happens. I come back, don't bother me anymore. That was my thinking. So that's how he came to me. I said, okay. I watched his life. He watched my life. I watched him too. I said, wow, this was a man who is a good Christian, a good believer. He told me one time in the office, his colleagues would repeat the Bible. If you are asleep on the left cheek, give your right cheek to the person who slapped you. He did that literally. I saw him. Wow, how can you do that? You should be socking him and killing him or kicking him or whatever. But he did that in front of me to show that, wow, this man is really living the word. He's a Christian, good Christian. So I saw that and I said, okay, I'm going with you. I made an appointment. He took me to the church on his motorcycle. Talking about how many miles, oh, many miles. He took me to the church about 10 miles away to the church. I said, wow, that far. I've never been to church, yeah. And I've never seen the church. I've never seen the preacher, whoever that was. So he took me one evening and I went to the church.
When you go to a church, it's especially after someone's just pestering you relentlessly. I mean, God must have really put something on his heart for you, a special love for you,
right,
Pastor Stephen, because he would not let go. It was like a pit bull that just locked his jaws in, and he not going to let go.
Right.
But to see the fruit that has come as a result of it. I'm interested, when we come back from our break, Pastor, if you could tell us what happened in your encounter there at church.
Yes.
Because in your mind, you're thinking, I'm going to go one time and we will settle it that way.
That's it.
You know, sometimes people, they have their own ideas that they conjure up and say, you know, God, I'll give you this and then I'll move on, you know. Mm-hmm. But God has other plans.
Right.
You may be on the very threshold as you're listening to another one of God's other plans. What is he doing in your life? Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. The fact that there are business owners who care enough about our community to bring God's hope to people is one of the greatest gifts to society. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show appreciates their generous financial support.
The Good Life Radio Show is a ministry that has a family of financial supporters. Grateful for their generosity, Danny Yamashiro and the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show would like to thank Wahiwa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, A1A electrician Tony Lathrop Lee of State Farm Mililani, HMC Karaoke, Birch Union Service Station on School Street, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Michael Beasley of Kiani, Realtor Fran Villarmia Kahavai of Properties International Limited, and Chinnan and Arenaga Financial Group Incorporated. To learn more about our sponsors and further sponsorship opportunities, visit thegoodlifehawaii.org.
A healthy smile can make all the difference, but where do you go for healthy teeth? Dr. Kerry Ishihara is a specialist in general dentistry in Wahiawa. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Ishihara serves the people of Wahiawa, including a special focus on military families. As a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, he understands the needs of soldiers and families in our military community. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is proud to have Dr. Kerry Ishihara as an anchor sponsor. Call him at 621-8281. That's 621-8281.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out? Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created.
You're listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. To be part of today's discussion, call us at 296-5467. That's 296-5467. Or contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter, or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now let's rejoin Danny and co-host Master Sergeant Carlos Cambry, Martin Arenaga, and Leslie Silva.
Welcome back to our show. I'm here with Martin Arenaga and our featured guest today, Pastor Stephen Che. You know, the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is produced with you in mind on one level. It's to create an opportunity for you to bring hope to others. Now, every one of us has a circle of influence, big, small, however we view it. But God has brought people around our lives, and these people, family, friends, maybe you're going through it yourself, but people who need hope. And this is a very unique program wherein you hear the preaching of the word through the lives of people, people sharing their stories that become so dramatic, compelling, interesting, gripping, riveting. And so I want to just remind you to utilize this opportunity to invite others to listen in. This is a great way for you to bring good news to others. Just say, hey, listen to the Good Life Hawaii radio show. You may or may not even know who's speaking, but you know that every day somebody is going to be sharing from their heart, most of the time sharing from pain about how God brought them out. Sometimes we have some real practical tools that you can use, but think of a family member, a friend, people that you know in your association that you could invite to come and listen to this show. And I tell you what a natural way to reach out to somebody and bring them the hope of the Lord. So use the Good Life Radio Show to do just that. You can also visit us at thegoodlifehawaii.org, very easy, and invite others to do the same, thegoodlifehawaii.org.
Right before the break, we're speaking with Pastor Che. Pastor Che, you're telling us about how you got a job, and there was one man there, a very persistent Christian, almost to the point of being pestering. So your strategy was to go with him to church one time, and he'd stop all of this. So here you are. Now, can you just then share with us what happened here in this church? You're walking in. What was going through your mind? What did you hear, and how did you leave?
Yes, this man was my colleague at work. So he took me on his motorbike, went to the church. It was in the evening service, about 7 o'clock service. So when I arrived, I sat in the last pew with him. And there was a singing, prayer. I didn't know what was going on. I wasn't paying any attention. But when the preaching of the word came, I saw the big, tall Texan, 6'4", from Texas, holy man. And he began to share about, you know, the life of this woman, Samaria or what. I don't remember the story. But one thing I remember was he mentioned all the sins that she did. Of course, not mentioned in the Bible. And then he said the last sentence, "You are healed now, go and sin no more." When I heard the last phrase, "Go and sin no more," I told my friend who took me there, I said, "Hey, did you tell him about me, all the sins that I did?" He said, no, I didn't tell him. It's the first time I brought you here. When you say, yes, you want to come, so here you are. I said, wow, how did he know all this about my life? You know, all the sins that I did. He said, no, I didn't tell him. So I figured out, it must be, you know, the Holy Spirit. It's the Word of God. God sent this man here for me to listen to the message for the very first time that came alive to me. And it applies to me. I say, oh my, I am caught this time. So when he gave the altar call, you know, always at the end of the service, who wants to receive Christ, who feel that, you know, you need help and this and that. I say, yeah, I need help. I need love, but most of all. Yes, I never experienced what love was. So when he gave the altar call, I raised my hand slowly. But the other hand said, no, don't raise it up. I push it down. There was a struggle, a battle going on within my heart. But suddenly, finally, I surrendered. I said, Lord, if you are real, I'm going down. Not only raising my hand, but I'm going forward. Whatever he wants me to do, I'll do it. So as he gave the final appeal, I went forward by myself. So brave. I said, what is happening to me? I don't know. So I went down. I hit the altar rail, my knees bent, and the only thing I knew what to do was to cry, to weep. I didn't know how to pray. I didn't know how to pray the sinner's prayer. I just wept and I wept and I wept over half an hour or almost 1 hour. I don't know how long I wept. I saw the puddle of tears on the altar rail, and this man came, this missionary came, put his arms around me. I said, wow. This is love. I've never felt this in my life, the love of God through this man. And finally, he said, I want to pray a sinner's prayer with you. A sinner's prayer, what's that? So he said, never mind, you just follow me, repeat after me. So I repeated after him and I prayed. And I felt after that prayer, whoa, I was set free. The burden has been lifted. And all the thoughts in my heart, in my life, of vengeance, anger, hatred was gone. And I stood up. I said, my friend waited for me. During all this time, he was waiting for me in the church. I said, I'm sorry, I took so much of a time, you have to wait for me. He said, no, this is what it was all about. You were pestering me. I stood with you. I knew God had his hand upon your life. And true enough, his prediction came true. I was saved, completely saved, delivered. Thank God.
So you had all this pent-up emotion, anger, perhaps, mm-hmm.
Yes.
And the need for love, and it just got uncorked,
right.
if I can use that word.
Yes.
And the right people were there. Pastor was there?
Yes.
What happened after that? So you're kind of composing yourself, mm-hmm. and of course you're having this discussion with your friend.
Okay. So I went back, went to work, entirely a changed person, transformed, yeah? From inward to outward. And people begin to recognize and look at me and say, hey, something wrong with you? You're changed. You were not like that before. How come? We invite you to go here, do this, see this, and so on and so forth. I said, no. They said, what happened to you? I said, I went to church. I met Jesus Christ, my Lord and my Savior. Oh, that was how it is? Come on, you know, this is not true, not real. I said, no, it is real, it is true. So that's how I begin to slowly conform to the image of Christ. I begin to read my Bible. I begin to attend church very faithfully. So much so that over the years, yeah, 2 or 3 years later, I became a leader, a young leader in a youth group and in the Bible study and all these things. I was elected as one of the leaders in the church.
How did it? Because you've had years of reading Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. So you know the text, you know the words. That hasn't changed. The words haven't changed.
Right.
But now you have a new attitude. Mm-hmm. And can you, what did you see differently this time, reading those same words?
Yes. Before it was just words, yeah. Black and white, print. Now it's a relational thing. I can relate the word to me. I read it. I obey it. And it becomes real to me. And that's how I get the power to change, to be transformed. So relational, applicational, and my life was filled with the Word of God. That's what it is. So it makes me a new person, totally different, not only outwardly, but inward change.
All this is happening in Malaysia.
Right.
You're a young man,
right.
What, 18, 19, 20 years old at that time, and now you've become born again, you become a Christian, you're changed. And God was getting ready to launch you, to propel you into your life's work. I want you to share with us about how you met your wife, Betty, and how from Malaysia you ended up in Hawaii, and what happened in that process. When we come back, Pastor, talk to us about the process.
Sure.
Some difficulties, maybe?
Oh, yes.
That you went through?
Oh, yes.
And how God sustained you and brought you through. Perhaps today you're hearing, you're thinking, I can connect with some of this. I hope God can do it in my life what He's done in Pastor Che's life. Well, you know, with God, all things are possible. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home. So afraid that you will not be found, it won't be long before your sun goes down. Just leave it to me.
on a dark winter night at Hawaii's Pali Ridge, Danny Yamashiro's life was forever changed as he fell 300 feet off a cliff, attempting to rescue his girlfriend. With a fractured skull, torn scalp, a shattered ankle, and smashed body, he fell again, another 100 feet. No one thought he would live. Danny's book, Paradise Calls, is a spellbinding story of survival and hope. A firsthand account of crushed dreams, recovery, and renewed faith to bring Christ's message of hope to people everywhere. Here's Danny.
As you read Paradise Calls, may God bless you and enrich your life with divine hope in the midst of whatever challenge you face today.
Danny Yamashiro can also be heard on the Good Life Radio Show at 2 p.m. on the new KGU 99.5 FM and on AM 760 KGU. Visit thegoodlifehawaii.org and remember to get Paradise Calls by Danny Yamashiro, available at bookstores throughout Hawaii. For more information, visit Danny online at thegoodlifehawaii.org.
Have you been blessed by the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show? Have the stories been an inspiration to you? What if you had the opportunity to improve the quality of another person's life, someone like your family member or friend? Danny Yamashiro is looking for friends of the Good Life to prayerfully consider a monthly financial gift. You will receive monthly letters from Danny that will equip and encourage you. I invite you to become a financial partner with Danny Yamashiro Ministries. With your gift, you will become part of Danny's ministry team and help reach more people with God's love and hope through Jesus Christ. Write your check to Danny Yamashiro Ministries and mail it to P.O. Box 700998 Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. That's Danny Yamashiro Ministries, P.O. Box 700998, Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. Or go to www.dannyyamashiro.org. You're listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. To be part of today's discussion, call us at 296-5467. That's 296-5467. Or contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter, or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now let's rejoin Danny and co-host Master Sergeant Carlos Cambry, Martin Arinaga, and Leslie Silva.
Welcome back to our show. I'm here with Martin Arinaga and our featured guest today, Pastor Stephen Che. Pastor, we talked about Malaysia, and a lot has gone on there. And then here you are in your 20s. How did you meet your wife, Betty?
Well, I had a call of God to become the preacher. I had a vision of Jesus coming to me and said, I want you to preach the gospel. I turned away. I said, no, I pushed away. But to make the story short, I had to submit and say, yes, I will go. So I went back home and told my mom. My mom told me, you go to Bible school, surrender your life. I'm going to commit suicide. Wow. So when I heard that, because my mom was Buddhist, I started with Buddhism. She said, I will commit suicide. I said, no, you don't. Because of my going to Bible school, you want to commit suicide. I cannot live the rest of my life with the guilt. So I put aside, I asked the pastor to pray, the whole church to pray for me. And finally, she gave in and said, okay, son, you can go. But please, don't leave me. I said, I will not leave
you. How long was that?
That was about 2-3 years.
Two, three years.
Yes, I had to wait that long, prayer and so on and so forth. God to prepare your heart and my heart when it's time, then I go into full-time ministry to study. So while in school, I met my wife. She's my classmate. So happens that, you know, we go to the same church and we attend the same class, Bible school, studying for 3 years, 61 to 63, graduated in 1963. And then I went to pastor for many churches, became the Bible instructor at the Bible College of Malaysia, and became the principal. And then there was a call for me to come over to Hawaii. The call came from the pastor of from Malaysia. He came over here. His name, husband and wife are both gone to be with the Lord. They are called Reverend and Mrs. Siu Wai Pan. The wife of Pastor Clayton Cole is their daughter, Sharon Cole. So they know me very well. So they invited me to come and say, hey, you come. I'll take leave for 1 month and you go pastor the church. Pastor Siu told me. I said, all right, I'll come. I'll see the church. I'll pray. and I leave my family behind. I come to minister for 1 month. And enough, true enough, I came here, I ministered in Calvary Assembly, and the people love me, I love them, you know. So I speak English and I know Chinese, but they needed a English-speaking Chinese pastor. Okay. So finally, my term was up. 1 month, I went back home. They have their business meeting or whatever. Then they sent me a letter after that. They said, hey, we want you to come. So the struggle came. Yeah, the struggle came. My wife said, hey, I told my wife, please, are you willing to go with me and the two kids to Hawaii? She said, no, no way. I will not leave Malaysia. I will not leave my family here. They are all in Malaysia. I said, okay. I did not press her. I said, I'll pray. So I left that aside. And I talked to my son. He said, no, I will not go. I have a girlfriend in Malaysia.
There was priorities.
There was a struggle, right? So then again, I left it all there. And after some months, Hawaii was calling me. Please, answer quickly. We need someone. If not, your place will be filled by some other people. So I told my wife, hey, have you prayed? Have you decided? Finally, with the struggle, with the kind of a spirit of unwillingness, she said, okay, we'll go. We'll go. I'll say goodbye to my folks, to all the things. She loved things. Oh, my. She collected so many things. When we left, each one had a suitcase. That's all. Everything that we brought over was 4 suitcases. One for me, one for my wife, and one for the two kids. That's all we keep over here. We pastored at Calvary Assembly for 12 years, 13 or 12 years, until the senior pastor had sickness and he passed away, and his wife too. Yeah. So I became the senior pastor for a couple of years. And then I was sick. I had cancer of the prostate, yeah, prostate cancer. I had to retire because I was not able to function anymore with all the radiation, surgery, and so on. I was running both sections of the church, English-speaking and the Chinese-speaking church, preaching twice and ministering as a pastor. So I felt one time when I was preaching on the pulpit, I was about to faint, blackout. I said, please let us pray. I was hanging on to the pulpit. Everybody bowed their heads. So what's happened to this pastor? I was trying to regain my consciousness, you know. And finally, I opened my eyes and said, I have to resign. I have to quit the church because of my sickness. So I left. This is now 10 years already. I left in 2001. This is 2011. I have retired since, ever since. But during that time, God has opened so many doors for me. You know, time, as you say. My pastor told me, you're going to retire that young. You're going to rust. You are going to collect dust. You'll be sitting on a rocking chair and going nowhere. But I told him, you watch and see. God has a plan for me still. His hand is upon my life, the will of God I want to accomplish through the strength and power of the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's ever since he sent me to so many other places, to China. I never wanted to go to China because of what happened to my father and my older brother and sisters. I said, the Chinese are communists. I don't want to go there. But the Lord said, you said you don't want. I want to make sure that you want to go. And true enough, I landed in China. I began to show so much love for the Chinese people. Oh, the students, the young people training to become missionaries, training to become pastors and leaders. And they're going to go to the Silk Road, going down to win the Muslims, the Chinese Muslims, until they reach Jerusalem. The last I heard, that was it.
You know, Pastor, you've gone through so much in your life. Change, agony, tragedy. Physically, whether it's malaria, prostate cancer, God has sustained you. Today, somebody is feeling extreme strain in life, challenges. From your brokenness and the hope that God gave to you, what would you say to somebody going through something similar or feeling like they're in deep pain?
Well, I would say to them, don't give up. God is always with you. You have your faith. Make sure that you hang on to the faith that you have in Christ Jesus. He will never fail us. I remember the verse of scripture. It says, God will never, 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 never five times forsake us or leave us. That's in the Greek, Hebrews 13:5. I checked the word, five times negative. So in other words, God is telling us He will never leave us. He will sustain us. He will equip us. He will supply all of our needs. He will lead and guide us. That's how I would say to them, be encouraged. It's not over yet, because there's work to be done. There's so much need over there outside of us. If we are available, give our time, our talents, whatever it is, abilities, let's give it to God. Mm-hmm. It's only one life that we live. All that we do for Christ, that life will last in eternity.
Perhaps somebody today, their heart is opened now more than it has ever been opened before. Open to God. Could you lead in a prayer? Maybe a prayer like how you were led years ago in Malaysia, so somebody can be led to accept Christ?
Yes, I can pray the prayer. Oh God, you are a loving God. In spite of all our trials, difficulties, pains, disappointments, frustrations, anger, hatred, unloving, God, I thank you. You say God is love, God is life, God is light. So Lord, there is hope, because you stretch out your hand to lift us up. You give us another chance to live for you and really rise up with your hands on our hands, walking together down life's journey, life's pathway. And with that assurance, God, I thank you that you will help someone who is listening, that your hand will be stretched out to lift that person up. Mm-hmm. And I thank you, Lord. You not only hear us, you answer us. May we say yes and be obedient to your call of the Holy Spirit. I thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Pastor, thank you.
Thank you.
You talk about bringing the Bible to life. Sometimes the knowledge, the practical knowledge of the Greek and the Hebrew, never, 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 never leave you. Yes. Well, Pastor Che can also be reached at BibleHawaii.org. He's an instructor at the Bible Institute of Hawaii, teaching Greek, but not the kind that is so hard and but practical, easy to understand, enriching your life, your Bible study. The Bible will be seen in ways that you haven't yet seen yet. And it's like watching TV in black and white and in color.
Right.
High definition. Blu-ray.
Amen.
Ecclesiastes 12:11 says, the word of the wise are like goads. Their collected sayings like firmly embedded nails given by one shepherd. Visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. You know, it's always a blessing to be with you. A special thank you to our guest today, Pastor Stephen Che. Until next time, I'm Danny Yamashiro with my co-host, Martin Arinaga, and our technical producer, Leah Rodriguez. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let Him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org. And may God richly bless you with The Good Life. Just leave it to me. I'll leave.